Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Wholesalers, I got to tell you a very true story. I'm at the National Speakers Association Conference, and I am on the lookout for extraordinary guests that I can bring to you, our community at Wholesaler Masterminds. And literally, I am standing at the men's room wash basin, and I look to my right, and there is a gentleman I know I've got to have on the podcast. Of course, it would be most awkward for me to approach him there at the men's room at the wash basin. So what does one do? One stalks that person at the door to the men's room. That's what one does. And that's how we wind up with our guest today, to learn more about brilliance, because he really has a signature around the concept of brilliance and what we do as wholesalers, as working professionals in our off-work hours in life, to enhance this concept of, as he calls it, brilliance. Let me give you the formal introduction of Simon T. Bailey. He's a leadership catalyst. He brings expertise that equips emerging leaders with tips, tools, and techniques on how to release the potential of themselves, the world's most important asset, people. He's a former leader of the world-renowned Disney Institute and the founder of Brilliance Institute Incorporated. If you look at Meetings and Conventions magazine or Speaker magazine, you'll find that he is one of the most requested speakers in the United States today. He, at Harrison College, has partnered to launch the Simon T. Bailey Emerging Leaders Certificate for individuals, corporations, and organizations. He has 7 books, the most recent of which is Release Your Brilliance. And that, actually, the most recent is Shift Your Brilliance. The arguably bestseller is Release Your Brilliance, published by HarperCollins, and that was ranked number 17 of 100 books read by corporate America, according to 800 CEO Read. We're going to talk about Shift Your Brilliance. That's the brand new book. It had a publication date of April 2014. Simon T. Bailey, welcome to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Oh, glad to be with you. Thanks for stalking me outside the men's room.
I know. I was like, and my big, you know, my main concern was, are my hands dry? Okay.
That would be awkward.
It really would. It would be so unfortunate. So that was the first order of business. I'm standing out there wiping my hands on my coat, making sure when I go to shake your hand, everything's in order. Let's talk about brilliance. What do we mean by brilliance? Again, this is a signature concept phrase of yours. Tell us what you mean by it.
It's your insight, your potential, and your genius. And it's the moment when you decide to grab hold to the steering wheel of your life and drive into the future instead of being driven by everything and everyone.
Oh, man, there's a lot of meat on that bone. I mean, there really is. There's so much behind that. Help us distill that down. I mean, I know my wholesalers are out there going, holy cow, that big statement.
Let me give you a little of the research. So when I started on the whole brilliance journey, well over a decade, I based it on some of the research work of Dr. Howard Gardner, who's professor of education at Harvard. And Dr. Gardner, he and his team of researchers, what they discovered is that children up until the age of 4 are operating at the genius level. They studied the same group of children in their early 20s, and only 10% were still operating at the genius, or what I call the brilliance level. And in their late 20s, early 30s, only 2% were still operating at the genius or brilliance level. So the question you have, like I had, is where did the genius or brilliance go? It didn't go anywhere, but it became buried by a society that says, color within the line, sit down, give it back, you can't do that. And the more a person continues to hear what they can't do, where they can't go, and who they can't become, there's a neurological path that's created in the brain that causes individuals to shut down. So what happens is, if they never tap into their insight, their potential, their point of differentiation, they never find their creativity or their innovation. They just kind of do things the way they've always done them. And then all of a sudden they're in a disrupted world and they want broadband results, but they find themselves using dial-up methods because of where they've been. And so brilliance is this invitation to always be open, always be learning for what wants to emerge.
Hmm. I love when some of my guests bring us this cross-section of science, in this case, the research, and then cross that with the day-to-day, it's fascinating. You say that we were all geniuses until the age of four. Is that what I heard?
That's what he said. Uh-huh. That's the research. Uh-huh.
Fascinating. All right, let's talk a little bit. Let's bring it to a practical place. Let's bring it to a how do I put this into action kind of place. In your newest book, you give us a lot of ways that we begin to shift our brilliance. So first, let's get some clarity on what shifting the brilliance is. What do we mean by that? And then you talk a bit about brilliance is a decision and some disruption that needs to take place to your current reality. Help us get some color around that, please.
Okay, so here in the United States, and I know you have listeners from all over the world, but here in the United States, on the highway, there is a sign that says, slower traffic, stay to the right. And one day I saw that sign, and I'm like, I can choose to stay behind this car, or I can move over to the left lane and accelerate ahead. And what I it clicked in my mind that sometimes people stay in the same lane because it's safe, it's comfortable. But what I'm saying is, when you shift your brilliance, you're going to have to decide to change lanes and hit the gas, because if you don't, you're going to stay where you are.
How do I overcome? Let's start with the fear factor. I mean, you know, let's take that metaphor of driving down the highway, and you make a decision that you're going to have to jump over into the left-hand lane to pass, and you need to check your rearview mirror and your side view mirror, engage the speed of the traffic, and even make a decision if successfully passing will result in passing or a wreck. The metaphor of our lives. How do we you know, grab our, you know, ourselves by our bootstraps, I'll be clean, and say, how do we make that decision?
Number one, what am I pursuing? What's in front of me that is pulling me forward? How do I look through the windshield of my vision, of my business, and decide that champions look at what they're going to while losers look at what they're going through? So if I want to be a champion, I got to look through the windshield, get real clear about the vision. Number two, what is the things that I need to let go of because they no longer serve me? They've worked to a point, but for instance, when I was writing my book, I was like, okay, I'm going to get the book out, but then I realized I needed to create some derivative products around the book. I need to maybe transcribe it and just give away a chapter. I need to put it on CD, or better yet, put it as a downloadable experience. And then, is there a curriculum tied to that? I had never done that before. So I realized that I had to let go of the way I thought it should be done to discover what wanted to emerge. And then the third thing is, what relationships do I need to be around that will cause me to stretch and speak the new language of the next dimension? So sometimes you can be thinking in an 8x10 world, but you've got to be in a conversation that's a 50x60 world, because it causes you to stretch. And once you put those three together, does that give you the energy to change lanes?
Mm. Man, Simon, there's a lot here. All right, let's talk about very specific pieces of shifting your brilliance. Mm-hmm. One of the things you talk about is, in order to shift your brilliance, you move from seeking success to finding significance. What does that mean? That's a big phrase.
So the last 30 years, I realized a number of people went to work 30 years ago, and they settled for a chair, a check, and a cup of coffee in Cubicle Farm, woke up 30 years later, and said, I've made money, but I don't have meaning. I've had power, but I don't have a purpose. I've sought status, but I don't have satisfaction. And I've pursued success, but I don't have significance. So significance is really tied to, as I seek to make money as a wholesaler, how do I add meaning to the money I pursue? So when you look at what Bill Gates has done, and even Warren Buffett, who is leaving a considerable amount of his wealth to the Bill Gates Foundation to make a bigger difference in the world, one of the interesting things with wealthy people is that they cross this place where they're like, you know what, how do I make a bigger imprint in the world so it's not just about me? It's because they're seeking significance. They've already had success.
So if I'm, and wholesalers, forgive me, I'm going to use the phrase just the wholesaler. So don't get mad at me because I use the phrase just the wholesaler. But if I'm just the wholesaler, how am I adding significance? Now, some of you out there, wholesalers, you're going, Rob, what are you, stupid? Of course I'd add significance. I help people build better and more sound financial futures, and I add to the wealth of humanity by helping people do that. But, Simon, what are your thoughts on it? How has this road warrior, this sales professional, how do I add significance? I'm not Bill Gates.
So great question. So first of all, it's realizing, number one, you've added significance by helping people secure their financial future. That's number one. But then the second thing is, how can you now begin to teach the next generation how to secure their futures so they don't have to deal with some of the bumps in the road that perhaps their parents may have experienced? And how do you become intentional? How do you begin to seek people who can't pay you but need you? How do you begin to help them understand that money is as important as oxygen, but as you plan for the future, you'll create a better life? The third thing to think about, those that are in your immediate sphere of influence, how do you begin to influence them, not just in securing their financial future, but really understanding how money works in the world and how money can be used in different ways? So it's taking all of the great seminars and books and sitting for your different licenses and different things and say, how do I bring that to bear now helping one person or two people or three people that they can become better? Because I believe, could it be that the best of us help to have to teach the rest of us how to realize the best hand that will feed us at the end of the day is the one at the end of our wrist?
Mm. Let's talk about that money piece. Mm-hmm. There's a quote from your book that says, when you shift your brilliance, you understand that money is energy. Anxiety, stress, and worry zap your energy and cut off your money flow. Well, this is a subject near and dear to wholesalers, because if there's one thing we enjoy about our profession is we make a lot of money. What does that mean?
So I realized over the last few years is literally what it took me a year to make at Disney. I started to make it a month, sometimes in a week. And I reached a point where I was chasing and I was going after it, and I had maybe a couple bills I needed to take care of. So instead of thinking about the future, I was focused on, oh my God, I got to pay this bill, so I got to close this deal. So my energy was not in serving the customer and building a relationship. It was in, how do I create a transaction to get what I need? And what I realized, it took me back to a moment when I had a private lunch. I was invited to a private lunch with Zig Ziglar and his wife a couple of years ago before he passed away. And I said, Zig, what is the one thing that I can tell people wherever I go? And here's what Zig Ziglar said. If you help enough people get what they want, enough people help you get what you want. And right there is where I shifted my energy. I said, wait a minute. It's not just about some transaction. I want to make more money. How do I help you get what you need? Because ultimately, I'm going to get what I need. And all of a sudden, that energy, just that shift, caused the phone to ring, opportunities to show up, because it was about them, not about me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Wholesalers, you know, we've been starting to do our work about the millionaire wholesaler, and as you listen to this, you know, we're probably 20 interviews in. And one of the things that we're finding, wholesalers, is this notion that Simon speaks about, this willingness to give, this willingness to serve, this willingness to help others, very much a common thread of what we're finding in our millionaire wholesalers. So it's very fortuitous that Simon talks about this on this call today. It says, when you shift your brilliance, you stop selling and start connecting. What is that?
It is all about the connection. So if you think about in the movie Jerry Maguire, a really cool movie, Tom Cruise says, Renee Zellweger says to Tom Cruise, you had me at hello. That hello was the connection point. And I realized when we really connect, we build a relationship. But when we sell, that's a transaction. And where the real opportunity going forward is, how do we get people to become our unofficial marketing department? How do we get people to Yelp about us? We live in a recommendation economy. And in the recommendation economy, people want you to connect to their head, their heart, and their hands so they can open their checkbook, reach into their wallet, and do business with us. I believe that comes as a result of connection, not just selling.
A Yelp society. Wholesalers, you know, we don't necessarily invite our clients, nor do we have any expectation our clients would review us on Yelp, but I suppose Yelp by word of mouth happens all the time about all of us. Isn't that right, Simon?
Totally. People are always telling somebody about you when you're not around. So who's wearing your brand T-shirt unbeknownst to you?
You talk about Seth Godin. Wholesalers, if you don't know Seth Godin, SethGodin.com is a good place that you should check in and do some reading. Very good thought-provoking material on a daily basis. You mentioned he speaks about being a linchpin in business and that that is a way to shift your brilliance. What are you referring to there? Tell us a bit about that.
I'm referring to how do we dial into the problem that people have so much so that when we provide the solution, they're like, oh my goodness, it was right there, but you help them find the solution because you decided to listen, not just hear. You decided to tap into how you solve their problem and totally wired it to what they needed, and they're like, whoa, that's it. So how do we become that problem solver? Number two, how do we learn from that experience and tell others about what we just did? Because when you teach it once, you learn it twice because of what you just experienced. And then the third thing is when I really, really identify that problem, not only do I become the linchpin, I develop a friendship. And so it kind of goes back to this theme that I've kind of been saying thus far is this whole relationship piece. When I relate to the cargo in your ship, now we have a relationship. And wherever you are going on the ocean of life, you're taking me with you because you know I understand you and I get you. That's being a linchpin.
Wholesalers, here's my suggestion about today's call. You're going to have to go back and re-listen to all 18 minutes of it. And the reason is there were so many nuggets that Simon offered to us, so many pearls of insight and things to jumpstart your thoughts, and they went by awfully quickly. Simon T. Bailey, thank you for joining us at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
My pleasure to serve you guys. Awesome.
Wholesalers, we'll be back again with another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.